Well, good morning.
Morning.
It's great to see all you guys here this morning. Seems like forever since I've been up here, and I hope everything will come back to me pretty quickly this morning. I've enjoyed the time of being away, and it seems like the longer that I'm in ministry, the more time I need just to kind of recoup and everything. So I appreciate your prayers. I appreciate the support of this incredible staff that I've got around me. Didn't the guys do a good job while I was gone? Yeah. Amen. So I appreciate them so very much. I'm looking forward to this series this month, for the month of August. And so if you've got God's Word with you this morning, let's just kind of jump right into it this morning, because we've got a lot that we need to get into. And so it's been 4 weeks since I have preached, so I'm going to have to kind of learn some stuff over again. As you've seen, we're in this series, Steps to Life. And I want to talk this morning, as we just get started, I want us to just rehearse some things that are part of who we are here on the Hill. For those of you who may be here for the first time, you're kind of new to the Hill, this is going to kind of help you understand who we are, why we do what we do, and what makes us different in so many ways, maybe from other church families that you have visited before, just some ways that we teach God's Word. And so we're talking this morning, if you'll notice in your life point outline, if you've got it out, and that is why you are here. That's a huge, huge question for you and I to ask. Why am I here? How would you answer that to somebody if they asked you that? Why are you here? As a child of God, why are you here? And even more important question is, do you know that you're living out the purpose that God has for you according to His Word? So that's what I want us to look at. I'm going to be speaking in just a moment. We're going to be reading through, after I lay some groundwork, we're going to be looking at Psalm 57. There's only 11 verses there. But we're going to read through that, and it's just a powerful, powerful story that relates to our everyday life. And so here's the question I want to just raise this morning to you, and that is, let's talk about why this series should interest you, why it should grab you, and why you ought to make every opportunity that you can, whether you're listening in this morning. Let me just say welcome to all of you who are joining us online. I hope as soon as you will, you come and join us here. We'd love to have you here sitting in amongst us and helping us worship. But we're excited to have you joining us here this morning online. Why should you make every opportunity to either tune in or to show up physically on Sunday morning for these next several weeks? Well, we are all of us in many different ways put together. Our lives experience a lot of different things, but and yet all of us are the same in a very specific way, and it's this: all of us want to live a better life. Would you agree with that? I mean, we want to do life better, right? I know I do. Even at my age, I want to do life better. I want to do home better. I want to do friends better. Even after all this time, I want to do that better, about relating to my friends and being what God wants me to be to them. I want to do family better. I've got all these grandchildren, and you know, they're growing up, they're changing, they're driving cars. On Sunday morning, when Chris's family comes over to our house, our driveway's looking like a parking lot. You know, all these kids are starting to get cars and starting to drive. I want to do work better. I want to do ministry life better. Well, there's a passage. 1 Corinthians 5:15 in the Message translation says this. Now, I'm going to be going a lot of things, so you're probably going to be able to write all this down, but just listen. It says, Christ included everyone in His death so that everyone could be included in His life. And then listen, it says, a far better life than people ever lived on their own. All right, now there's an insight here that I want you to see. It's not in your notes, but I want you to get this. And just listen to what I'm going to say, and it is this. The better life, God says, John, understand, the better life, listen, is not you living for you. The better life is you living for Christ, living for Him, loving Christ first. There is a better life than what a lot of us are experiencing. And what it is the purpose of Christ for you. What is Christ's purpose for you? And are you living that purpose? There are a lot of East Texans here in Angelina County and around East Texas that are living what I think the world would call the good life. You know, good family, good job, good homes. But look at this first truth in your outline. There is a difference between the good life and the better life. Okay? There's a difference between that. And that's our message to the people of Angelina County that God wants you and I bearing. There are millions of Americans this morning, beloved, who have a lot to live on, but they don't have much to live for. Huh?
That's right.
That is why suicide, divorce, and multiple forms of addiction are the norm in American life. We try to fool ourselves by everything that's put on the television screens and the movie screens that we've got the best life now. But when you begin to center in on the personal lives of people, you realize in so many ways, American life is coming apart at the seams.
Right.
And the truth in your outline, the next truth is, it isn't money, but meaning that makes a better life. That I have meaning. And the greatest tragedy of life is not to die, but to never understand why God put you here on the earth. Why are you here? And here's the next truth. God made you for a purpose. And those of you who may be new this morning, those of you who may be listening online for the very first time, this is one of our main messages here on the Hill. God made you for a purpose. What is that? God said, I made you that you, number one, would know me. Number two, that you would love me. And number three, that you would do life my way. That is what God wants. There are thousands of people in Angelina County that want to lose weight. They want to increase their nest egg for retirement. They want to get debt free. They want to go back to school. They want to change jobs. And there is nothing in the world wrong with any of those things except this. None of those good things fundamentally change our approach to life and how we're doing life. And so the next truth in your outline, the better life is about becoming a different person. And what it means is that I begin to do life differently. I do it different. And here's how our Lord Jesus put it, John 10 and 10. He said, I am come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. And so what God says, I want you to understand, John, he said, life is found in living for Christ and serving his purpose for your life. And every day, every week of my life, I have to rehearse that in my mind, that I remember, if I want the better life, if I want life, then I realize, listen, and this I'll say this over and again, I have to remind myself, life is not about me. It's not about me. And that's where we lose it right there, when we make life all about us. But it's not. It's not about me. It is about Christ. And so for August, we're going to talk about the steps to life. Decisions that we need to make. Decisions we need to live on. And today, we're going to talk about why you and I are here. And the Bible question is, does your life have a purpose? And that's what we're going to focus on. Now, you're at Psalm 57. Verse 1 through 11. So let's read that this morning. I'm reading from the English Standard Version, all right, just so you understand. All right, notice at the top, to the choir master, according to Do Not Destroy, a miktam of David when he fled from Saul in the cave. Be merciful to me, O God, be merciful to me, for in you my soul takes refuge. In the shadow of your wings, I will take refuge till the storms of destruction pass by. I cry out to God Most High, to God who fulfills his purpose for me. He will send from heaven and save me. He will put to shame him who tramples on me. God will send out his steadfast love and his faithfulness. My soul is in the midst of lions. I lie down amid fiery beasts, the children of man whose teeth are spears and arrows, whose tongues are sharp words. Be exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let your glory be over all the earth. They set a snare, a net for my steps. My soul was bowed down. They dug a pit in my way, but they have fallen into it themselves. My heart is steadfast, O God. My heart is steadfast. I will sing and make melody. Awake, my glory. Awake, O harp and lyre. I will awake the dawn. I will give thanks to you, O Lord, among the peoples. I will sing praises to you among the nations, for your steadfast love is great in the heavens, your faithfulness to the clouds. Then he ends by saying, be exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let your glory be over all the earth. Now, I want you to notice, go back up to the very top again, because it's something that maybe you just kind of, you know, wouldn't even pay much attention to, all right? Look, it says, to the choir master, to the tune of Do Not Destroy. What does that mean? It just simply means this psalm is to be sung according to kind of some hit tune of the day, okay? There's some song that like everybody would know that was kind of popular. And so David wrote this psalm to kind of hit along with the tune of that song. Does that make sense? All right. So, and then he says, a miktam of David when he fled from Saul in the cave. Now, that statement right there, that sentence adds meaning to what is coming, to what we read in this psalm. David wrote Psalm 57 hiding in a cave from King Saul. And Saul was trying to kill David because David had been anointed to be the next king of Israel by God's prophet Samuel. And Saul had a real problem with that. He was the current king and he wanted his own son, Jonathan, to be the king. And so Saul begins to chase David out of the country and he's got several thousand soldiers everywhere looking for David. And so look at the primary insight in your notes, if you will. Psalm 57 is a prayer of David when everything in his daily life was wrong and upside down. Everything in David's life is bad at this point when he writes this psalm. Now, what I want you to notice is that in spite of everything that is wrong in David's life, just think about your life and mine, okay? And all the mess that we get in, all the stuff that happens. In spite of all that is wrong in David's life, he is suffering innocently. He hasn't done anything wrong. It was God's decision, not David's. His life is really reflects that of a criminal on the run, and he's not a criminal at all. And what I want you to notice is not one time does David ask God to change his situation. Not one time. And here's the truth in your outline. In our text, David only asks that God glorify his name and everything that David's going through. Now, I want you to think about that. I want you to think about that in regards to all the mess that's going on in your life. Anybody here besides me ever have mess happen in his life? Huh? Can I get a witness? All right. David could have prayed, Lord, vindicate me. You know, put a plague on King Saul. I'm innocent, Lord. He could say, Lord, bless me to have a nicer place to stay. Are you kidding me? A cold, wet cave? It's the worst here. Never one time, never once, does David ask God to strike King Saul. Insight. David surely wants God to fix his pain. Of course he does. But David realizes that something bigger is going on in his pain. Do you hear me? That when you and I are going through some difficult times, what is the message of Holy Scripture? That God says, I want you to understand, listen to me, life is not all about you and me. And then when you and I, as his kids, are going through some difficult times, God says, I want you to realize, remember, David has taught you, my son has taught you, when you're going through a difficult time as one of my kids, something bigger is going on in your life than your pain. God has got a plan. He is working something. He's wanting something in my life and your life. One of the things that we teach over and over again, you're going to hear this month. Three things I want you to always remember, and this is not in your notes, but just get it in your mind. And that is, listen, you need, in order to live the life God wants you to lead, you need a life group to support you. You need that. You need a life group to support you. You need a D group, a disciple group, in order to grow you. You need that to check yourself and make sure that you are growing in Christ. And you need a ministry to fulfill you, that you are doing something to give back, that you are using what God has put into your life to invest in the lives of others. That's what you need. Two times, look at Psalm 57, verse 5 and 11. David says, be exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let your glory be over all the earth. Translation, he said, Lord, use this situation of my life to let other people see how majestic you are. And that's what we see. We see how God time and again delivers David and preserves him and teaches him and makes him into the king that he's going to be someday to lead God's people. All of us have hard days. Would you agree with that?
Amen.
Huh?
Amen.
Rest of you just looking at me. Do all of us have hard days?
Amen.
Thank you. I thought, Lord, I can't shepherd these people. They don't know what I'm going through. All of us have hard days. All of us have difficult seasons in our life. But right now, how are people seeing God in your life? How are people seeing God in our life? Through what we're going through. And so David talks about his confidence in God's plan for his life. Verse 2, I know God will fulfill his purpose for me. Even though I'm going through this very difficult time, I know his purpose is not going to be messed up. Do you know that? That through everything that you're going through, God's ultimate plan for you is going to be fulfilled. That's what David said. Verse 4, he says, I will lie down and toss and turn and suffer with stomach acid all night. Is that what he said? No. He said, I will lie down to rest in the midst of fiery beasts. All these guys, I've got thousands of soldiers looking for me day and night. And David said, I lie down at night and I do what? I go right to sleep. I go right to sleep. He said, I don't have an acid stomach. He said, I go right to sleep. And he says in verse 7, I will arise early in the morning and I will sing and make melody to the Lord. So instead of cowering in fear, David sleeps all night. He awakes with a song of praise that he knows God has not forsaken him and is working a plan. And child of God, listen, women, those of you who maybe have lost your husband, whether divorced or by death, those of you who are going through some difficult times, whether in your job or your physical health or whatever it is, do you understand that God is saying this present pain you are going through is not messing up your life if you belong to me. But what you are going through is your opportunity to bring glory to Him by how you respond to it, by how you walk through it, that you don't let it shut you down. Because you see, that's what David did. He said, Lord, you get the glory from this. I trust you. And every day of his life, God brought him through. God brought him through. Okay, and the time remaining, I got to get through 3 points, and then I'm going to sucker punch you. All right? So, number one, God has a purpose for your life, but it's not about you. I realize this is the way to clear a building. But when we're talking about Jesus, this is the message of the gospel. All right? This is what it means to be a believer. David's repeated refrain in this psalm is this. Verse 5 and verse 11. Be exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let your glory, whose glory? God's glory. Lord, let your glory be over all the earth. Here's the insight. The ultimate purpose of my life and your life is not about you. You and I exist for His glory. We exist for His glory. You won't get this kind of preaching on television a lot. You know, for me to get on and say, it's not about you, send your money in. You're going to want to hear that. No, I want you to tell me, preacher, it's all about me. God's all about making me happy. God's about all about filling my bank account. He's all about keeping me healthy and wealthy. The Bible says God created the earth for a reason. Why did God create the heavens and the earth? Psalm 19, verse 1. The heavens declare the glory of God. Why did God choose to save Israel? Psalm 106, verse 8. God saved Israel for His name's sake, that He might make known His mighty power. You see, you and I have got to ask the question, how does how we do church on the hill cause people to think about God and not about us? Are they thinking about us in Lufkin, or are they thinking about Him? Isaiah 48, verse 9. For my name's sake, I defer my anger. For the sake of my praise, I restrain it for you. Ezekiel 36, 22. Thus says the Lord God, it is for the sake of my holy name that I am about to act. The nations will know that I am the Lord. God says, John, I want you to so preach the word. I want you to so shepherd my people for as long as I've got you there that they will know there has been a God who has walked among them for as long as I have you planted there. And my greatest joy is to see everything that the Father has done. The missionaries that we've sent out around the world, the hundreds of thousands of dollars that you have sent to put missionaries on foreign fields of service, how you are helping to reach lost college kids on the West Coast who have never heard the gospel of Jesus Christ, and they're surrendering to gospel ministry, and they're planting churches on college campuses all across the unreached Northwest. Why? And that is because of you. Because you desire to make Christ known. Why are we building that building over there? Did you see all that concrete got poured?
Amen. Hallelujah.
Friday morning, 3 a.m., I was not here. I believed it was going to happen whether I was there or not. I did come by about 6 and checked it out, and it was happening. So that was great. We've got all that happening because God has given us a place. And He says, the more you make my name known, the more I'll use you to spread it. And so the truth in your outline, each of us was created for one reason, and that is to bring God glory with our lives. Now, I hear somebody saying, you know, whoa, wait. That just seems off. It seems self-centered of God, maybe kind of unloving that, it's all about Him. I want you to consider this. For life on the earth to work, you know, we got this in our science classes, right? For life on the earth to work, the earth has got to revolve around the sun. Everybody agree with me about that? Right? We've got to do that. And if the sun was a person and it loved the earth, it would insist that the earth remain, or that the sun remain as the center of the earth's orbit, because the sun knows that if the earth ever lost the sun as its center, life on earth would cease.
Right?
That's right. Okay, listen to Psalm 16, verse 11. In your presence is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. Here's the truth. It is because God loves you and me that He instructs that we keep the worship of Him at the center of our daily life. See, God's heart at creation was that when He finished creation's capstone, when he made Adam and Eve, what did God do? God put the brush, if you will, of creation in their hand. How? God had created the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Why did He not block the pathway to that? Why did God not even give them the opportunity to be tempted with that? The reason is because of this. The only time you have a good marriage is when the man and the woman both willingly, of their own heart, mind, and will, give their love to each other. Would you agree?
Amen.
I give it. Why? I love you because I love you. And I don't want anybody else. I want you. And I make a daily choice to love you. I make a daily choice to love Catherine. She makes a daily choice to love me. That's how we have a marriage. And what God is saying is, it is only love when you choose to do it. And God wanted a creation that was centered in love. And when God handed Adam and Eve, when He handed Eve the paintbrush of creation, Eve chose herself. She did not choose to put God first. And that's why you and I are born thinking it is all about us. It's all about us. And that's what we are learning to give away. We're learning to refrain from that. Yeah, you know, I never had to send Kristen and Joel to rebellion camp when they were growing up. They had that down. It was no problem for them. They never had to stay after school to learn how to be selfish. They got those things naturally from their mother. I'm kidding. I just wanted to see if she was paying attention. Babe, I'm sorry. It was a joke. It's a joke. I'm totally involved, right? Okay. Our default setting in life is self. It's all about us. If I took my camera out this morning and I got a wide angle shot of all of you, and then I ask you to come up here and look at it and tell me if you think it's a good picture, how are you going to base whether or not it's a good picture or not? The first thing you're going to look for is what? You. Right? Where am I in there? That's what I want to know. And is it a good shot? Is it my best? Am I looking good? That's how I tell if the picture is good or not. It's all about me. And we are selfish in our religion. So many of our prayers are what? Give me, give me, give me. Lord, give me this. Lord, give me that. God, help me get this. Stop him. Smite her. Make everyone behave the way I want so that I can be happy. It's all about us. How many of us will give this morning or will give this month through our tithes or offerings, give to the children's building, only because of God's financial blessing? That is the basis of your giving. But if financial tough times come, when God is actually, what's He doing? He is seeking to prove in us that He is the center of our lives and not what He gives us. That we give not because He's given to us, we give because we love Him. I love you. Or do we slow or just stop giving for kingdom purposes because we're not going to make life tougher for our life tougher for His namesake and His glory? Translation of all of that, life is really about us. If it doesn't go right for me, then that's the way it is. So here's the insight. If God doesn't behave, so it's all about us, we walk around confused because as the co-pilot of our lives, which He's not, you know, do not put that. If you got that sticker on your bumper, please get it off. God is my co-pilot. No, He's not. He won't sit in the co-pilot seat. It's like I'm either flying this dude or I'm not flying it at all. right? God is not my co-pilot. So don't do that. But people think he's my co-pilot of our lives, and he's supposed to give us our best life now. That's a real popular phrase in some preaching circles. And here's a question. Is it wrong for God to seek his own glory? No, no. What did Jesus do when we flaunted his glory? Philippians 2:6, though Jesus was in the form of God, he did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the form of a servant. He became humble. He humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. You know what Christmas is? Christmas is God saying, you painted me out of your life. You shoved me to the side. You rebelled against me. Here's what I'm going to do. And the Bible says, God the Son laid aside his glory. He was born in a stable. He took the form of a servant. And he died at the hands of men who denied him. Here's the truth, men and women. The glory of Jesus isn't selfish. It is a giving, sharing glory. The Lord says, I want to do you good. I am the cause of all blessing in your life. Am I not worthy of praise? The Lord says, there is nothing in the universe worthy of praise but me. Philippians 2:9, therefore God highly exalted Jesus, bestowed on him the name that's above every name, so that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Paul is saying, beloved, isn't Jesus worthy to receive glory from you? Isn't he worthy to receive twice glory? He's your creator and he's your savior. Why am I here? Because God formed me in my mother's womb. I am a plan. I am not primarily the product of the lovemaking of my mom and dad. I am here by divine design. Amen. God said, I made you. I created you, and I died to save you. So God has a purpose for our lives, and it's not about us, it's about him. So number two, and I go quickly here, God has a purpose for you, and it's mostly about what he's doing in you. Now, I want you to notice in our text how many times David talks about his soul finding refuge in God. Look at verse 1. Be merciful to me, O God, be merciful to me, for in you my soul takes refuge. In the shadow of your wings I will take refuge till the storms of destruction pass by. Listen, David didn't sleep well at night. I want you to think about maybe challenges that you're going through. David didn't sleep well at night because he was confident he had a great cave to hide in. Man, there's no better place for me to be than right here. No, that wasn't why he had confidence. That wasn't why he slept well. He didn't sleep well because he thought his army could handle anything King Saul's army could throw out. He didn't sleep well at night because he said, I'm innocent. You know, and everything always works out good for innocent people. That's not what he's saying. The truth in your outline, David took refuge in God's purpose for his life. So God has a purpose for me. Do you understand God has a purpose for you? God has a purpose. Every day of your life that you get up, God has a purpose. And if you're still sucking in air and you're above ground, God says your purpose is not over. He realized he took a refuge in God's purpose for his life and that God would keep it and he would bring it to pass. And that's where David found his sleep. He said, God's going to take care of me. And the insight in your outline, the greatest gift that you can give God is that you depend on him and you trust him with your very life. Maybe this morning you're dealing with depression, worry, fear, anxiety, or anger. And maybe there's a chemical reason for what you're going through. But outside of that, I just want you to listen to this. It can also be that you're experiencing the emotional stuff that you're going through because you've been getting your refuge in some other place besides him.
That's right.
And David said, I lay down and sleep at night like a baby, even though Saul is hunting me day and night. How can I sleep well at night? David said, because I know God has a purpose for me. And I will live every day that the Father has for me. And everything the Father wants for me will come to me. And nobody can stop that. You say amen?
Amen.
My God will take care of me. If I live and for one thing, and that is to serve His purpose. His purpose for our lives is where our joy is. And let me close with this. God has a purpose for you, and if you're surrendered to it, He will fulfill it. Look at verse 2. God will fulfill His purpose for me. And that's the only thing God will fulfill. He said, I will fulfill my purpose. That was David's morning and evening prayer. God, complete your plans for me. Complete your plans for me. Here's the insight. You've got to remember, it's not all about us. We have to quit seeking to be the center of the universe. Listen, when you do that, then and only then. Listen, when you do that, God, I want to serve your purpose. Here this morning, you want your best life now. Father, I want to live out your purpose for me. Do you know what God says? God says, if you'll say, Lord, I surrender to whatever your purpose is for my life. God says, I will reorder your life to fulfill my purpose. And nothing will come in your life that's going to mess up my plan or my purpose for you. If you make yourself the center of your universe, nothing will work for you. But when you make God the center of your life, the universe realigns for God to fulfill His purpose for your existence. Now, that's what I want you to think about for this whole month. I want you to think about God's purpose and plan. And that are we living out God's plan that He has for us? And part of that great plan that He has for us is us living as the church that He has planted here on the hill. Let me give you the last truth in your outline. Jesus Christ didn't come to be an important planet in your solar system. He came to be the center of it. And I want you to ask yourself, is the Lord the center? Is He the center right now? Because we've got an offer that I want to make to you here on the hill. We have an exciting ministry. One of those exciting ministries here on the hill is, of course, is our kids' ministry. From birth all the way through the fifth grade. And I want you to be real still for just a minute. This is a hugely attractive part of who we are here on the hill. We have so many young couples that are coming, bringing their children because of the name and because of what has been part of our history here on the hill. And I want to ask you this morning, I want to ask you to begin serving the purpose of God for you. And the purpose of God for you and me is that we, as I said, we are part of a life group where we need the support of other people. That's one of the things that's taught clearly in God's Word. The church met together week in and week out to encourage and build up each other. You need to be part of a life group. And if you're not, you can do that by going to the Next Step desk here. And I want to urge you to do that today. There's also the need for you and I to be part of a D group. We need to be, number one, learning how to do the life of a disciple. How do we live the life of a disciple of Jesus Christ? You need to be in a D group. That you are going through Scripture, you're learning how to follow Christ the way Christ taught the disciples to follow Him. And we're at the front end of that, but we're learning so much about that. And I want you to be praying about, God, I want to be in a life, in a D group. All right? So this becomes part of your goal. The third thing is that you need a ministry to serve through. One of the ministries that we need you to consider, first of all, is our children's ministry, from birth through fifth grade. Now, some of you this morning were given one of these. I'd like for each of you who've got one of these to stand up. Would you do that? Each of you who've got one of these, just stand up wherever you are, all across the road. All right? I want you, do you see everybody that is standing? All right. All of you represent a child that has been coming to the hill. And unless something changes, unless we have volunteers, this is a number of kids that we will not be able to minister to. Why? Because we don't have an adult serving and helping us teach them and minister to them. All right, you can be seated. Everything that we do here on the hill, we do because we do it out of obedience to the Lord. And what we're needing in children's ministry, we're needing some rotating volunteers. There are three ways you can serve. We need some rotating volunteers. We need some of you to commit for a semester. That this I want to be here on a regular basis for this whole semester. And then we need those who are going to be greeting. There are various time slots and various age groups that are available. And so you can find out what those are by going out here in the mall area. We've got a board set up. There are three tables out here. We've got people there that are going to help you understand. But you're going to be going out there to say, I want to serve the Lord by ministering and helping to teach these little ones, these young ones, about the Lord Jesus Christ. This is something that we do every year. We renew our volunteer workers for children's ministry. And so I want to encourage you today to step forward. I need 60. I need 60. I'm going to be asking in all three services, but I need 60 of us to step up and say, I'm in. I'll do it. I'll help. I want to make the kids' ministry go. I want to spread the name of Christ to a new generation of kids. And I want to ask you to do that, and I want to ask you to do it today. That's what I need you to do. All right? And so as soon as we're over, you can go out there and go to the table and just let them know I'm here and look at what the opportunities are and help us. This is what we do. This is what God put us here to do, is to serve Him. And we serve Him by ministering to others. And so thank you for what you're going to do in helping us with this vital ministry here on the hill. Let's stand together, all right? And let me just say one last thing. To those of you who've either got gray hair or no hair, you know how to do jobs well. You know how to do that. So many of the older generation know how to greet people. You know how to make people feel welcome. You can be a great example to young people. Some of you would make excellent greeters. You know how to greet people. You know how to make young families feel welcome. Serve Christ. Be a greeter. Say, I don't feel like I'm one to teach. That's fine. Be a greeter. Make people feel welcome. Let them know we're glad they're here and they're putting their children in a ministry here on the hill. All right? Father, thank you this morning for the word, God, that you've taught us so clearly. Thank you for what we've learned through the life of David, that life's not about us, it's about you. Go with us now, Father, as we step forward and find our place in the ministry to kids here on the hill. And we'll thank you, Father. I thank you for those who are going to sign up today and take care of this great need for the next generation. In Christ's name we pray. Amen and amen. God bless you guys. You're dismissed.